John Harbaugh has had 9 years in his coaching career where the Ravens won at least one playoff game, which means half of the years he was there, they not only made the playoffs, they won a playoff game. In the Super Bowl era as a franchise, the New York Giants have only had 10 different seasons in which they've won a playoff game.
Oh, you know what I want to look up? How many times has John Harbaugh hosted a playoff game?
Ah.
Because I watched, I started and then I fell asleep, the latest episode of Hard Knocks to close out the year last night. And you know what made me sick, what made me turn it off? I couldn't finish the episode.
Go ahead.
First 7 minutes. No, I don't have the audio, Evan. Nick Sirianni's going back and forth about the Eagles getting set to, you know, they're winning the division. And they couldn't remember in Nick Sirianni's era how many times they've hosted a playoff game.
Seven is the answer for John Harbaugh.
Okay, seven.
Remember, early on in his tenure, they did a lot of road winning. His rookie year, when they got to the championship game, it was all on the road. The following year, two road games. Following year, two road games.
I think Flacco might be the all-time leader, right?
Winning all sorts of playoff road games, but eventually he had a run of games they hosted.
So it's funny, Sirianni, this will be the seventh time in his era the Eagles have hosted a playoff game.
Jeez.
And it just made me throw up, and that's why I asked that about Harbaugh. Could you imagine a world we're living here in New York where we're not wondering why it's been 20 years since we hosted a single playoff game?
That's crazy.
Like, can we just get a fun tailgate in January?
No, I get it.
I mean, I won't be there because it's too cold, but can we just get one for the fans?
It's also crazy. The Giants have a good history. Like, when I bring up the Jets' history, none of these stats would surprise you. But in the Super Bowl era, I mean, the Giants have won 4 Super Bowls. It's not like they haven't won, yet the Giants, and this happened in the Coughlin era, they would only win playoff games when they went on deep runs.
Right.
That was basically the way it would go. They'd make the playoffs plenty. They'd lose in the first round. It would be a massive disappointment. And then the 2 years where they actually won a playoff game in the Tom Coughlin era, the Eli era, they'd win all of them.
Right.
And go on a major run, which is why, despite this long history, 60 years we're approaching, they've only won a playoff game in 10 of those seasons. And in John Harbaugh's case, he's done it in 9 seasons. That is mind-blowing stat.
Sign me up.
To show you the success he's had. Now, how did Raven fans turn on him? I did a lot of research on this, okay? I went into Raven's Reddit. I listened to old clips of Baltimore Sports Talk Radio.
What did you
find
out? EdgarAllenPoo.com? where did you go here?
I forget the name. I don't know. It was a dirty, dirty place. And I found all the criticisms of John Harbaugh, and I think this is healthy. This is a very healthy thing. It's like deciding if you should get married or not. You got to write down the pros and the cons.
Whew.
So even if it's a no-brainer that you're going to ask her to get married, you should write the cons down so that you're not surprised when those cons pop up in year 4.
And then you put them in a paper shredder.
Yeah, no, you get rid of this.
Yeah, 100%.
Like this conversation we're going to have, we're going to eliminate from WFAN history so that once we're in love with John Harbaugh and everything's going well, we never hear it. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
And I want you to hear it, and if you want to combat it, that's totally fine, or if you want to say, hey, that's fair. Are you ready?
Yep.
Playoff failures and, quote, choking in big games. Despite consistent regular season success with a Super Bowl win in 2012, Harbaugh is heavily criticized for the team's repeated early playoff exits, especially in the Lamar Jackson era. Fans point to collapses, blown leads like the AFC Championship game, and other postseason matchups. Labeling him, quote, a god of choking. There are other inappropriate names used to describe the choking of John Harbaugh.
I already live with Aaron Boone as the manager. I can live with Harbaugh.
Yeah, but you want Aaron Boone gone.
Now I do, just like Raven fans do. But I'm sure if that was my resume coming in, I'd take him.
Conservative or poor in-game decision-making. Very common complaints, including being overly conservative with play calling. Example, abandoning the run or not being aggressive enough late in games. Bad clock management, questionable timeouts, and punting or challenge decisions that cost games. Specifically, the last game he coached, which we all criticize, which is the decision for Lamar to take a knee and not try to gain a few yards. Or, as Tiki pointed out, go for the gusto and get a touchdown. You had a timeout. You had an ability to gain a few more yards and give Tyler Loop either an easier field goal or, dare I say, score a touchdown.
I believe John Harbaugh is a good enough football mind that he knows where he went wrong at the end in Baltimore, and I think he can learn from that.
Inflexibility with the coaching staff. A major flashpoint leading to his dismissal was not wanting to change coordinators, specifically Todd Monken. Fans have viewed this as a stubbornness, prioritizing loyalty and ego over results, and he waited too long to address deficiencies in schemes or assistances.
Counterpoint, he wasn't loyal, had his own blow up with Wink Martindale, and was proactive in bringing Mike McDonald to the NFL to be his DC, who's already one of the better head coaches in football.
Late season collapses and underperformances. The Ravens frequently start off strong but fade, like this season, going 2-4 in their final six, with fans blaming Harbaugh for not getting the most out of the talented roster and failing to get over the hump. Get over the hump is a very popular term used on Ravens Reddit. Your thoughts?
I think that's a totally fair criticism. I think a lot of that is tied to the fact that Lamar Jackson consistently gets banged up as the season goes along. And as you know, with the Giants, we have a quarterback that never gets hurt.
This is the other one, and this one pisses me off, but I have to address it because I think the Giants have faced this a lot, okay, that the Super Bowl that they won was lucky. That is a very popular opinion.
You know what? I could make that case for every single Super Bowl champion ever. Ever. You need to be good enough to get there, and it always takes a stroke of luck. Always.
No, I happen to agree with you. I don't believe in saying, hey, it's one great throw in Denver. Or in the case of Eli, oh, it was a lucky helmet catch. Like,
of course.
You won the game, you lost the game. And like, it's a part of sports.
You played your way to get into the game.
Absolutely. The last thing is about the way he lost the locker room this season.
All right.
And I'll help you defend this in saying he was there for 18 years. That is far greater than the cycle of most successful head coaches. In fact, look at Giant history. How many times have the Giants employed a coach for 18 years?
Yeah.
So I think losing the locker room, while that would normally be a concern, to me, I'm less concerned about it when he was there for so ridiculously long. I think all great coaches and managers have, they have a life cycle. They have an amount of time before it's like, all right, there needs to be a breakup.
Right. It's stale. The message, you know, gets ruined. I mean, Ben McAdoo lost the locker room in year two. I'll sign for year 18 when that happens.
So none of those things concern you?
I think there are minor concerns. Yeah, I am worried about some of the game management stuff. But my argument is always going to be whatever concerns I have that you brought up there are going to be similar or, you know, different kinds for any coach the Giants hire. So I would still rather a guy that I know rolls out of bed and wins 11 games. That's it.
We will talk to Connor Hughes at 1 o'clock. He is as locked in as anyone. Connor just tweeted that the Giants are, quote, all in on John Harbaugh right now. He is the number one coach on their wish list. We'll get much more information from Connor when he joins us coming up at 1 o'clock. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Ryan in North Caldwell. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, good morning, guys. What's up?
What's up?
It's kind of cathartic listening to the fans of one of the most successful franchises over the 18 years gripe about their head coach. But, you know, there's a couple things I've noticed on the fan the last 15-16 hours since Harbaugh got fired. The first is that everybody seems to agree that Harbaugh is a class of the NFL, which I totally agree with, right? The Giants would be lucky to have him walk in those doors. They better paint the hallway, polish the marble. They better buy the fanciest new Maybach to pick him up from the airport. Because the other thing is everybody's assuming that John Harbaugh is going to walk on into the Giants and pick them right away. If there's eight other franchises that are looking at him, which could, you know, be the Bengals closer to where he grew up, why is he going to pick the Giants? Would you say they've been the class of the NFL? Sean, you just mentioned the Giants haven't hosted a home playoff game in 20 years, and he's 63 years old. And look, the age thing doesn't bother me. I'm a Washington fan. If you fired Dan Quinn tomorrow and brought Harbaugh in, I'd be doing backflips.
Yes.
But I think in your last, this is probably his last job. If all goes well, he does this for 7 years, 8 years, rides off into the sunset, enjoys time with his family. Why is he going to pick the Giants right now? They've been such a dumpster fire.
Yeah. Ryan, my easy answer to you would be, I agree with you. I think that we probably, I know I'm guilty of this, have overinflated what the Giant job is. I don't think they're nearly the organization they once were. Now, there are a lot of people smarter than me around the NFL that claim that this is going to be like the most desirable job. And the only thing I keep coming back to, well, I guess it's two things. Number one, Jackson Dart. And number two, the thing that ironically we crushed the Giants for, which is like loyalty. If you get hired, they're going to give you as long a leash as humanly possible unless something goes in. And I think there's something to that. But at the same time, of all of these openings, and what we don't know is if there's an opening after Wild Card Weekend, outside of the one he just lost with the Ravens, why the Giants? Well, why the Cardinals? Why the Falcons? Why the Titans? We're interviewing freaking Jason Garrett. Like, they all have major wards. The Giants probably have the least wards.
Mike is in Charlotte. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Man, I'm all in on Harbaugh for the Jets. I think it's an opportunity to have. to turn around today and fire Glenn and then get Harbaugh in there right away.
Yeah, you know what also would be really, really cool? I think most people would be in favor of this. What if Abe Lincoln just came back to life and we elected him president?
As a vampire?
That'd be awesome. What?
As a vampire?
No, as Abraham Lincoln. And he doesn't have to follow the whole two-term rule because remember, he existed before the rule existed. Like, how awesome would that be? Now, you're probably just tuning in saying, what the hell? That doesn't make any sense. That odds of Abe Lincoln coming back to life and just saying, you know what? I'm alive, guys. Yeah, this is a weird thing. I came down from the heavens. I'm Abe Lincoln. I'm back. And us just installing him as president again is as likely as John Harbaugh saying, I want to coach the New York Jets.
Well, he didn't.
So no one's splitting any atom when they say, hey, I'm a Jet fan. I want John Harbaugh. We all would. But the idea that the state of this franchise, they're going to draw interest from John Harbaugh is a fallacy. And maybe I went too far with resurrecting a dead guy who's been gone for, let me do some math here, 165 years. But nevertheless, it feels like it's kind of the same odds.
What if we got that technology?
Yes.
Now, Abe Lincoln's out because he didn't get frozen. What if you found out a resurrected Ted Williams who is frozen
yes.
could manage the Mets in a decade?
He was a terrible manager. Do you remember him with the Senators? See, you come on.
No.
Don't play
with
me.
Evan. But do you think if you...
He didn't know that, by the way.
I didn't, but I would argue this back. There's no bigger life experience than dying. If you came back from death because you had the technology to freeze your head like Ted Williams, you don't think you learn from experiences and want to make the best of that next opportunity?
That was the worst analogy you could come up with.
Well, because he actually got frozen. Abe Lincoln didn't.
No, seriously, the best question that comes out of this, and someone should make a YouTube video of it, is if we do somehow, if we were able to bring back Lincoln, like he comes back, is he subject to the 22nd Amendment? The 22nd Amendment is the term limits.
Yeah, I didn't know what amendment that was. That's where you went. I was like, do we rename the tunnel? Because now he's alive.
No, well, we keep it the same. But I started thinking about that. Like, so when we enacted the 22nd Amendment, it was because Roosevelt treated everything like
former president's boyhood home.
Like he was a king. I mean, there were no rules for Roosevelt. I run for a fourth term, even though I'm dying, whatever.
Ridiculous.
So it was passed during Truman's administration. Truman was not subject to this.
Because it was the Truman Show.
So Truman had a chance to break the rule because it didn't apply to him. He was grandfathered in. Mm-hmm. So if Lincoln comes back, isn't he kind of grandfathered in?
Quite literally.
Someone's got to ask the constitutional lawyers about that.
Now, if you also get... I'm sorry. This is far more important than Harbaugh. If you get brought back from dead,
yeah.
And let's just use the frozen analogy. Does your birthday go back to your old birthday or is it resurrection day?
I think you have two birthdays.
So now you get two cakes a year.
Yeah. I think you've got the day you were born
and
the day you were resurrected. I think we have history to back that up.
I'm fascinated by this.
Have you heard of Easter?
Yes, I have. You're right. It's not just about the bunnies and the eggs.
Have you heard of Christmas?
I have heard of Christmas.
All right. There you go. So somehow this has gotten religious. Let's go to Tyler in Farmingdale. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Fortunately, not a Giants or a Jets fan at the moment, calling in as a Steelers fan. Hearing a lot of Mike Tomlin on the show today.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I'm 99.9% certain that he's not going to be available. I mean, I'm not going to get into if they should get rid of him or not get rid of him as a New York show, but there's no way that he's leaving, especially if Rodgers wants to come back a year and Cam Hayward has 1 year left on his deal. If anything, it'll be sometime after next season.
I think the odds are, Tyler, the odds are probably leaning towards you being right. But the door is open. He's only got 1 year left on his deal. Adam Schefter had the report about a month ago about how they wouldn't fire him, which I thought was almost like setting it up for a potential trade. It feels like a breakup is inevitable. Now, I don't know if the results of this weekend's games impact that. Because I think in the case of John Harbaugh, this thing was already decided. Like, we found out based on what was going on with Todd Monken and Lamar Jackson and losing the locker room that even if that field goal is good, even if they're in the postseason,
right.
There's a really good chance they make that change anyway. It feels like there is this inevitable breakup between Pittsburgh and Mike Tomlin. If it's not this year, it's going to be soon.
It felt like it was going to happen last year.
I agree. I think it's on the table. So yeah. 99% feels almost way too high. Would I say it's 70-30, he goes back to Pittsburgh? I'll buy that. But I wouldn't rule it out. And as long as I don't rule it out, I would want to keep my options open.
The only thing you have to weigh is how much greater. Now, we all said we'd rather have Tomlin, but what's really the divider? Is it that much of a divider that you wait? I don't think so.
Lorenzo in Keyport. What's up, Lorenzo?
Hi, Blake.
I've had Derrick Henry and Lamar on my fantasy teams for many years, and I've watched a lot of Ravens football, even as a big Giants fan. I am not interested in Harbaugh, and I like him for stability. I get that, but I got to tell you, I'm not with the talent that I see potentially with Neighbors and the boys and all that stuff. I want the wild card. I want someone who's on the bubble, and I'm with Moresh's original of Stefanski. But I do not want. I mean, you said yesterday, you said, you know, look at his record over 19 years. And I'm saying, you've been given 19 years of opportunities to win, and you did it once. And let's face it, it was many years ago. If I got 19 opportunities to win with Lamar Jackson, I might win one, too. And I'm not a good coach at all.
But Lorenzo, I think we say this about every coach who has a really good quarterback. Like, other than Patrick Mahomes, who wins all the time? I mean, there's a lot of, hey, if I had this guy, if I had that guy, if I had this guy, that's the same criticism that Mike McCarthy faces.
McVay's only won one.
Yeah.
And we think he is like John Madden reincarnated.
Now, Lorenzo remains Kevin Stefanski's guy. You the other day, yesterday it was, these days get confusing to me. You were also a Kevin Stefanski guy. You still stand with him being a really good hire, but you prefer John Harbaugh?
I prefer John Harbaugh, but not at the expense of losing Stefanski and waiting.
Now, yesterday at the top of the show, we argued about Kevin Stefanski. I by no means think he's a bad candidate. I'm just not as drawn into him as you are and many others are.
Lorenzo clearly too.
Lorenzo as well. I've already made my point. Let's hear from someone else in criticizing Kevin Stefanski, someone that I have great respect for. I don't know if you respect him. That's Rex Ryan, the former head coach of the New York Jets.
Okay.
Here is Rex Ryan and his criticism of Kevin Stefanski as a head coaching candidate.
It's funny how everybody just throws him out there. I guess it's because he's an offensive coach, but certainly his record as a head coach is not. I want to get excited about that, and I don't know how many playoff wins he's had.
I believe so, one
playoff win or whatever. But to me, two-time coach of the year, I think that's the most ridiculous thing there is. There's a lot of great coaches in this league that have never been coach of the year. And so I think it's just hey, he must be a hell of a guy. Can you have me coach of the year? I don't buy that stuff. I think he's a decent coach, but to put him in the top echelon coaches, I don't.
Would you like to respond to my guy, Rex?
Yeah, Rex is very upset that Kevin Stefanski is getting so much credit for doing what he did with Cleveland, and Rex just sits on the pine after he did what he did with the other equivalent of Cleveland, the Jets.
Well, let's be fair. Who has a better winning percentage in their career, Kevin Stefanski or Rex Ryan?
Rex.
Okay, let's go to the playoff wins. Kevin has one. Rex has four, so who has more playoff wins?
Rex.
Who's been to two championship games?
Rex.
So Rex is making a fair point, is he not?
Let's go to eat a damn snack.
Who sat here yesterday and said I'd be more open to Rex than most Giant fans?
No, I'm just responding. Yeah. You're the one who brought up him as a response. You went after Rex's resume and said it's Rex being jealous, and I'm just saying, look at his resume compared to Kevin Stefanski. I agree. He's not wrong.
I agree.
He's not necessarily wrong with that, is he?
I think, you know how when teams sign free agents, we use that verbiage, you're signing a guy for what you think they're about to become, not what they've already done?
Yeah.
That's my view on Stefanski. I like what he's already done, but I think it's just so much more untapped without ownership getting involved in forcing a quarterback trade down your throat.
We have heard from Giant fans who are skeptical that John Harbaugh would take the Giants' job. And you mentioned, well, I don't know if you've mentioned, but some of the names as threats to the New York Giants include the Philadelphia Eagles if they fire Nick Sirianni.
Correct.
The Atlanta Falcons because of the roster that they have. When we come back, I do want to reveal a team no one is talking about that I think is a real threat for John Harbaugh, and I believe the team will shock you.
Okay.
But I've got information to back it up.
All right.
We'll come back. We'll take more of your calls, 888-808-1019. We're about an hour away from lunchtime, which means it'll be time for a brand new edition of Cinco de Lunch Show. Plus, Connor Hughes joins us at 1 o'clock. I'm going to go through the teams with vacancies, and you tell me your surprise level if John took the job. You ready?
All right.
Atlanta Falcons.
Not surprised.
Giants.
Not surprised.
Arizona Cardinals.
Not surprised.
Tennessee Titans.
Would be surprised.
Las Vegas Raiders.
Not surprised.
Cleveland Browns.
Not surprised.
Oh, okay, because that's the team. I think the Cleveland Browns are a major threat for John Harbaugh. A major threat. You want to know why?
Yeah, because everybody was talking about this last night.
Oh. What was that then?
That it's like his dream job. He grew up close to there, and he has so many ties to
the Browns. So similar. It's okay. Very, very similar to
that's where you blow. I thought you were going to give me a team that doesn't have a vacancy.
No, it's because I don't think people. I must have missed people picking up on that.
Obviously, by the way, I was way too in the weeds on Twitter last
night. No, so clearly. But I want to give you the evidence. It's not John. It's actually Jim Harbaugh. So a year ago when the San Diego Los Angeles Chargers were playing in Cleveland, Jim went through this incredible story about his parents and the ties that they have to Cleveland that are insane that made me think, if Jim feels this way, wouldn't John feel this way? So here's Jim Harbaugh at this press conference a year ago talking about the affinity and the emotion he has for the city of Cleveland.
You know, my mom's from Cleveland and used to come here all the time, Christmases, summer, vacation. But today, I mean, it just hit me, like, as I'm standing out there pregame, November 25th, 1961, Jack and Jackie Harbaugh were married here in Cleveland.
Married in Cleveland, vacations in Cleveland, which probably stunned me.
I say summers in Cleveland.
And it's about to get even crazier. Summers in Cleveland surprise you?
Yeah.
So they got married in Cleveland. What else, Jim?
The cool thing about it is their honeymoon, my dad took my mom to a Cleveland Browns game. So Jim Brown was out there playing.
Now, I've got good news. So his parents' honeymoon was at a Cleveland Browns game. The good news is, hey, Jim, who did the Browns play that day?
They're playing the New York Giants.
Okay. All right. More information about your affinity for Cleveland and that day that your mom and dad's honeymoon was spent at a Browns game, Jim?
They stayed in a hotel, like, downtown. I don't think they ever told us which one they stayed in the night of their wedding. But the funny part, they woke up. They went to White Castle for breakfast and sat on the stools there. And then they walked to Old Cleveland Municipal Stadium for the game. I remember my dad tells it. Sometimes he embellishes the story, but he's walking up to his seats. And some of the other guys who played at Bowling Green with my dad on the team were also coaches. And they were there the night after the wedding or the day after the wedding at the Municipal Stadium, and they're, Harbaugh, you know, what are you doing? Your honeymoon, you're going to a Browns football game. But it's something we've always thought was cool and we're proud of. And my mom and dad went to a Browns game for their honeymoon.
Now, before we dive deeper into the honeymoon, which I'm fascinated about, that's Jim, obviously. That is not John. And you mentioned that you have other information about John's affinity for Cleveland, because that's affinity. That is big-time affinity that Jim brought this story up. Obviously, it's his parents, and it's John's parents, too, obviously. But that sounded like they adore Cleveland.
Yeah. The Fan Focus is sponsored by Chef IQ, precision cooking, effortless results, chefiq.com. Longtime Browns reporter Mary Kay Cabot, very respected in the NFL community. Last night, she drummed up a lot of this John Harbaugh to Cleveland speculation, talking about how much John loved and grew up a Cleveland Brown fan and how much that organization has meant to him over the years, stating to keep an eye on the Cleveland Browns as that surprise hire for John Harbaugh. This Fan Focus was sponsored by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
So when you combine that reporting that he did grow up as a Cleveland Brown fan,
they went to White Castle,
and the fact that there's this wonderful White Castle he must go back to
for breakfast.
But that Jim feels that emotional about it. And I'm going to assume that John probably has the same kind of glee in telling the story. Probably doesn't tell it a lot because he faced the Cleveland Browns every year. He went there once a year.
Yeah. Now, here's my fight back on this.
Look, there's no fight. It's fascinating to know that there is that deep of a connection, which could play a big role in this. But go ahead.
John Harbaugh has already coached the Cleveland Browns that his dad took his mom to see the honeymoon in. They moved to Baltimore and became the Ravens.
No, stop it.
He coached those Browns.
That's not true.
He coached those Browns.
No,
he checked that off the box.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
History, went to White Castle.
History doesn't back you up on that. If you go to Pro Football Reference, the Cleveland Browns' history took a hiatus for a few years upon their return. The Baltimore Ravens begin as a new team upon their move to Baltimore. I know it's weird. I'm not saying I agree with it, but NFL history tells us you're wrong.
Okay.
You're wrong.
Well, they took a hiatus. That organization that left with that ownership became the Baltimore Ravens, and Harbaugh had an affinity for it. Took that job.
You think John looks at it that way?
I don't care how he looks at it. Now,
that's what you're trying to tell yourself.
The other thing I would push back on and say is, John Harbaugh, we can all agree, has a lot of pull, right? Like, he's been a longtime great head coach in the NFL, and Jim as well, who had all these years to, you know, kind of talk about affinity for jobs. The Cleveland Browns seemingly have a head coach opening every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, if he really had that much desire to coach the Cleveland Browns, I think he could have negotiated his way out of Baltimore to take one of the 15 openings that have existed in 18 years.
I don't think that's necessarily fair, but it does lead to that question of what is he looking for upon taking a job? I mean, that is a very, very fair question, because we've already taken a few calls from Giant fans and non-Giant fans saying, why is he taking the Giant job? Why is it that appealing? And I think it comes down to, what do you want? Like, if you're John Harbaugh, what do you want in your next job? If it is about emotion and affinity, then the Cleveland Browns are a real threat.
Sure.
They just are. It could also be about sticking it to your former employer.
I think that's the bigger answer.
You could say, you know what? I know the division. I'm not happy about the way we broke up. You're damn right I'm going to play you twice a year. Much like he may look at the Raiders as a non-starter because he doesn't want to compete with his brother twice a year.
I by the way, that probably is the biggest reason why he wouldn't. To go to that division and play his brother twice a year.
I'm just throwing out all the different things that are absolutely fair that one can look at. Because here's the reality. I'm never going to be a baseball manager. It's just never going to happen for me. Or a baseball general manager.
Don't
or an
say
NFL
that.
Head coach. Or an NBA head coach. But if I became like this great baseball manager and the team that gave me the opportunity with the Seattle Mariners and I had 15 years with the Mariners and I was great and we had this breakup the way John did, you're damn right the Mets would be at the top of my list. And I'm pretty sure you would say the same thing about all the teams you root for. So I cannot just eliminate the team you have an affinity for being eliminated based on their history or based on whatever else. Like, if you literally grew up as a fan of that team and you share Jim's thoughts on the emotions of that honeymoon story, of course they're a real threat. You can argue with me all day about Shedeur Sanders or the front office. If that's the team you rooted for, that could absolutely be a major factor.
I can't deny that. It's not like any of us are John Harbaugh and we think that, yeah, totally. That could be very much on the table. But the one thing that takes a lot of people's affinity away is paychecks. The Giants need to give them the biggest paycheck.
Well, that's a big thing here.
Where's that Coke money coming in? The Jillian Coke.
Oh, yeah, the Coke family who bought into the Giants. What, 10%?
10%. Use that 10% and go make sure the John Harbaugh.
I totally get it. Now let's get to the honeymoon thing.
Yeah. This portion of the program is sponsored by Kalshi. Trade on anything.
I feel like the stereotype about me would be that I took my wife to a Met game for our honeymoon. Or I took her on like a Brooklyn Net road trip for a honeymoon. I promise you I did none of the sorts. Now, how about you? Because I think you have the same reputation. That you and your wife get married, and all of a sudden you're going down to Philly for Giants-Eagles.
Close. We got married, and 2 days later, I went to former employee here, Mike Carver's bachelor party in Vegas. So that was my honeymoon with my friends. Then 2 months later...
Well, that doesn't count as a honeymoon.
Well, that was my first vacation following a wedding.
Yeah, but sometimes, like, look, me and my wife didn't have our honeymoon for 8 months because of the work schedule here at WFAN. I wasn't going to take off in September. We got married in late August, so we did our honeymoon in February. So that, I think, is normal for a lot of people.
All right, so then if that's normal, I went to St. Thomas, which I just revisited last year. Great time, except for the fact that we went to a resort post-hurricane that was changing ownership, and somebody quite literally died on the property while we were out by the pool.
Jeez, really?
Yeah, they had alcohol poisoning, and the medics had to come in, and we got a free comp trip the next year because we witnessed a death by the pool. True story.
Is that worth it?
Wasn't. It was very scarring now to think about it.
I mean, it wasn't worth it for the person that's dead, but for you.
For me. And then I was all, they ran out of water, and they ran out of bacon. It was a horrible honeymoon. How do you not have bacon at a resort?
Did you ever think about doing like a sports-related honeymoon the way the Harbaughs did?
No, because the one thing is my wife doesn't love sports at all, and she was very fearful that I was even going to propose on like a Jumbotron. Like that was like her worst fear.
Oh, gee, that's the worst.
Like, don't you dare do that. I tempted fate. I was lucky enough for her to say yes to begin with. I wasn't going to take her to MetLife Stadium for a honeymoon.
Nah, smart move. I didn't do that. We were supposed to go to Hawaii, believe it or not, like the typical cliched honeymoon, and she was pregnant because we waited a while.
Okay.
We're not living in sin.
I got you.
It happened after we got married.
Sure.
We waited 8 months, and she was pregnant, and do you remember the Zika virus?
Of course.
All right, so the Zika virus hits. It was affecting unborn babies.
Terrible.
My wife is pregnant. Now, the Zika was only in the Caribbean.
Correct.
But her attitude was, it could get to Hawaii.
It's a palm tree. It's a beach. Anything's on the table.
And I could say this now all these years later. I thought she was crazy.
Yeah.
But I also knew I could never, ever, 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 ever live with myself or with her again if I force the issue on Hawaii and God forbid something happened.
Dude, forget about it. That'd be the end of the marriage.
It's done. So yeah. I knew the trade-off. Like, I thought about this one night. I was like, all right, do I put my foot down and say you're crazy? Or do I kind of look at what are the possibilities? And I knew right away, I was like, Evan, shut the hell up.
Right, exactly.
What are you doing? So with 2 weeks' notice.
Would you go to Theodore Roosevelt's library?
See, that's the other stereotype. No, I game planned a trip where I did a show from the site of the Super Bowl, which was paid for by me because we were not flown to the Super Bowl.
Shocking.
Just so I could do a show after the Super Bowl. And then we did
former president's boyhood homes.
Eventually, we did do one, I have to admit. We did Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington, flew to Vegas to see Adam Sandler live.
All right.
Drove to Long Beach, California, and spent the last 6 days in Long Beach, California, where one of those days we made the drive to the Richard Nixon Presidential Library.
I think that you...
Wasn't a boyhood home, though. It was a presidential library.
I'm a loser.
You would expect me to crush you for that trip.
Not bad, right?
It's not big. Because you know what I'm a big fan of overall? First of all, any honeymoon with your wife doesn't mean we're sipping, like, whatever on the beach. Life experiences. When the hell else are you going to Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington, or Long Beach, California? And I know me and my wife are big on, like, hey, let's double up if we can on certain trips. See random places. I think that's cool.
And also, went to White Castle.
And it all, it's better than that.
You go to Bojangles.
And we also had to plan it with, like, no notice.
Of course.
Because it was all like, should we do it? We ended up not doing it. Anyhow, let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. Cologne in Hawthorne, New Jersey with a great question. Cologne, the floor is yours.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year. Hey, guys, listen. You know, the best two jobs to me are Giants and the Falcons because of the talent. But also, if I'm John Harbaugh, one of the key factors will be, you know, if I go to the Falcons, I pick my GM. The Giants already have a GM. You know, I'm picking the guys I want to work with if I go to the Falcons.
It's a great point. Mm-hmm. Do you think that Joe Shane's presence, Sean, is a hindrance to the New York Giants?
I am stunned it took us to 11:40 to get to this.
We have a four-hour show. We like to spread things out there, Sean.
Do I think it's a hindrance? I don't think it helps. I don't think it helps to have a GM that we have no idea if they're lame duck or not. And I don't think it helps if Joe Shane has that much influence on the head coaching search. Like, for instance, I may want Kevin Stefanski to be the head coach, but if Joe Shane's pushing for that over John Harbaugh and being that influential because he's worried about his own job, like if that's what Harbaugh is, that's a problem. We brought up Trent Baalke yesterday. If Harbaugh, if you speak to Harbaugh and you ask him, and it's not Shane, it's ownership, and you talk about this, he wants Shane out, he's out. That's it. Period. End of discussion.
Diego in East Meadow. Good morning, Diego.
Hey, boys, good luck with the new time slot. Real quick, I feel your pain. I proposed to my wife in the wintertime, so I'm wearing a Giants starter jacket, Giants hat, and Giants wide receiver gloves. It kills her that she has to look at those pictures every day.
That's great. That's great.
But the last caller kind of touched up on it with the GM. Unfortunately, the thing you also have to talk about is there's a question mark on the ownership, unfortunately, because of his health. So I don't think the Giants job is that appealing. So if any one of these three coaches, Stefanski, McCarthy, or Harbaugh are interested, you sign them. You can't be beggars right now. Like, look at the trash they've hired for head coaching jobs in like the last 7 years. Any one of these guys would be an upgrade because I don't think we're looking for a coach to get us to the Super Bowl. You know, what you said about the comments about getting over the hump. How about just get us to the hump? Let us worry about getting over it later on.
No, I get that. And I think you bring up a very important and uncomfortable conversation that we don't have to have. I don't think it's something that we need to know, but it is important for a coach to know, which is what is the plan with ownership and a potential succession plan. Mm-hmm. Succession plan.
Succession.
Succession plan.
Yeah. You didn't finish the show, did you?
What was that?
You didn't finish the show.
I know you started it.
I never started it,
and I just, it was okay.
I could tell you didn't finish the show because you'd be making a lot of Logan Roy references with what's going on with the Giants.
Oh, probably so. But I think that, look, I don't think that it's something we need to speculate about. And I honestly don't even think, and I'm big on fans need to know everything. I don't think we need to know the succession plan, but I totally respect a head coaching candidate saying, I'd like to know. And it's a very uncomfortable question, but it is fair for coaching candidates to discuss that with ownership.
And one thing you may not be aware of, not you, I'm just talking about like in the audience in general, in the NFL, you need to have on file a succession plan.
So there is one, obviously. There is one. We just don't know about it.
And my guess is like when you're saying like, well, does a coach need to know that? I don't know how this works, But I believe that within NFL circles, it's probably pretty easy to figure out because it has to be done legally in the NFL.
Gotcha.
So I don't think that is an issue at all. They'll be aware of the succession plan.
Right, but what we don't know is how much coaches in interviews get access to that kind of information.
Sure.
I don't know the answer to that.
Man, I have a hard time thinking if a guy like John Harbaugh wants to take the Giant job and he asks, and you know it's publicly or publicly on file within the NFL, that they wouldn't tell him.
Let's go to Ben in Connecticut. What's up, Ben?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, man.
So I was all about Stefanski until like 7:30 last night. And then when the news came down that it was Harbaugh, I went obviously completely in for him. So my concern is that if we don't get Harbaugh for whatever reason, any other coach, especially Stefanski and especially McCarthy, is going to feel like, you know, second place by a mile, maybe even third place if it's McCarthy. So I guess if we can't get Harbaugh, I have a question after this too. Then I'd probably want to go for the fence, swing for the fences then in a different way with a hot young coordinator, maybe the Shula kid from the Rams. My question is, and this is because of when we wanted Matt Rhule, like, are the Giants considered sort of at all cheap? Or I know they're not like the Bengals or the Cardinals, but in terms of how they treat their employees, not necessarily, well, I guess coaches, but like, you know, because we did get outbid for Rhule, which turns out not to have been a bad thing. But I was just curious if you think, based on what you know, if money would be an issue specifically for a sort of goal.
It's tough to answer that only because if you look at their recent coaching hires and even the guys they were interviewing, you did bring up the example about Rhule. It didn't seem like it was a bidding war. It never seemed like it came down to that. I think that this year it very well can. I think this is completely different. So what's the Giants' track record on winning a bidding war for an NFL head coach? I don't think we have it. Sean, you brought up the new money that's been infused into the organization based on the Koch family buying 10%. And they certainly have the money. And I think as New York fans, we're certainly arrogant enough, especially the season ticket holder who pays top dollar, to say, I don't want to hear that we were outbid. It's one thing if he just prefers to coach his hometown Cleveland Browns. It's one thing if he just likes the Atlanta Falcons roster better. That's a different subject. But no fan in this town, with the prices we pay, want to hear that the reason John Harbaugh didn't get the job is that the Giants got outbid.
I don't think that's going to be an issue. I really don't. Now, you could say what you want, and you could be unhappy about the way the recent years have gone with the Maras and running the New York Giants. The Maras have always been about legacy to me. Like, always. That's what they care about. That's what Wellington had cared about. And I got to imagine, knowing everything that John has been battling and what the family's gone through, they know how important this hire is. And I think they view this hire as like a bit of a legacy hire. Like, they have the quarterback right. I don't think they're going to allow dollars to get in the way of that being the difference between John Harbaugh being the coach or not.
Are you wearing a Winter Classic Rangers hat?
I am.
And it's the Winter Classic that just occurred?
Yes.
Against the Florida Panthers?
Yeah, probably the last win the Rangers have this year.
No, I actually wasn't making a joke. I have an interesting, I think, interesting question.
Okay.
If they had lost that game, would you wear the hat?
Yes.
Did you buy it? So you bought the hat before the game took place?
I didn't. I got it as part of a Secret Santa for my sister.
So it's a gift.
Yeah.
So you would have worn it because you felt the guilt of the gift?
Well, I also think it's just a nice hat. Like, it has the Winter Classic patch, but the front isn't the Winter Classic.
It's a beautiful Ranger hat. I'm just saying, would you wear the patch of an event that you lost? I'm curious.
Yes, because it's not like a playoff hat. You know what I mean?
Because I get crap for my Mets National League pennant sweatshirt lost the World Series.
But the Winter Classic's a little different, right? It's just like you're part of a cool event. You remember, whatever. You might forget if they won or lost in 5 years.
By the way, if you're just tuning in, the Islanders beat the Devils last night 9-0.
Matthew Schaefer is the new king of New York
sports. Thank you, Sean. That was very nice for you to say that.
Whoa. How's AI working?
That's not AI. That's real Sean Morash. If you didn't hear it, let's hear it one more time. What's Matthew
Schaefer is the new king of New York sports.
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate it. That's very nice of you.
Get that in now, because I'm back at those controls tomorrow, and it ain't playing.
See, this is the problem. This is why I got to talk to Uncle Craig about getting a machine where I can press some buttons. Because I need to combat this. Connor's doing a great job back there, but you're right. When Tiki returns tomorrow, Sean presses the buttons, which means it's going to be kind of biased in terms of the clips that are played. Rangers.
Without a shadow of a doubt. Thank you, Connor.
Let's go to Chris and Merrick. What's up, Chris?
Gentlemen, timing is everything in life, right? Luckily for me, the guy my wife dated before me was a complete loser, which set a low bar for me to succeed.
Congrats, Chris. That's great.
Same thing applies here. John Harbaugh is stepping into potentially a situation where the bar is low. If he puts up the same season that the Ravens just fired him for on the Giants, we will celebrate it for year one. We will be happy and look forward to 2027. The Giants have a young quarterback. They have some young pieces that most people in the league think are a solid young core. They have a high draft pick, and he has an opportunity to win in a very media-heavy team area. So successes are magnified the same way losses are. So winning in Cleveland may be good for him and his family, I understand. But if you win with the Giants, or the Jets for that matter, or the Knicks, or the Yankees, or the Mets, it gets magnified.
Yeah.
So this, to me, is a perfect kind of Tom Coughlin-esque, leaving one franchise after many years, taking over another, a la Andy Reid leaving Philly, going to KC.
But Chris, the thing you got to keep in mind is everybody's different. I want to use the Knicks as an example.
Okay.
Winning with the Knicks is special. I agree with that. I was even going to tell you, as a Net fan, winning with the Knicks is more special than winning with the Nets. I'd admit it. And I'm a diehard Net fan. Maybe special to me, Sean, and nine other people. But I get the majesty of winning with the Knicks. And yet Kevin Durant said no thank you. Now, I'm not saying that to be a jerk, because you guys obviously won out. What I'm saying is everybody's different.
Of course.
So it's great to call Sports Talk Radio and talk about how beautiful it would be to win in New York. If John Harbaugh has an affinity towards Cleveland because they went vacationing there and he's from Akron and his parents had a honeymoon there, that's not something you can compute. And you can't just simply use New York to solve all issues. And I'll give you another example of that. What's that two-bit reporter who took a lot of crap? I didn't even waste our time with it. The college reporter who said no one wants to play for the Jets coming out of college. What's that guy's name?
McShay?
Todd McShay. Yes, Todd McShay.
Two-bit reporter. He's a great draft.
I'm sure he probably is. I was just upset. Sorry, Todd, if you're listening. It just
you don't know Todd McShay?
I know him, but I don't know him personally. I know his reporting, yes.
Okay.
I'm just pissed off about who would want to play for the Jets. Our last caller's point would fit that, too. Like, hey, Dante Moore, here's why you'd want to play for the Jets. If you're ever the quarterback that turns this thing around, you're a freaking legend.
Mm-hmm.
You're a legend. You can go to other places. It's not the same as winning in New York. And that's all true, but it's not true with everybody. That's the point. It's true with me. It's true with our last caller. But it wasn't true with Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
It may not be true with Dante Moore. It may not be true with guys who don't want to be here. And so we don't know that about John. Now, it's a great selling point.
Sure.
And maybe John on his way is listening to WFAN to kind of scout out what the New York media is like. And maybe John is listening right now. John, if you're listening, our last caller's right. You win in New York, you are a freaking king. They'll build a statue for you. But I don't know if let me edit that. John, winning with the Jets is a much bigger deal than winning with the Giants.
John, if you're listening, don't listen to Evan. The Giants have Jackson Dart, and we will build a statue for it. Heck, maybe we'll build a new stadium for you.
Does Tom Coughlin have a statue? Exactly. Shut your mouth.
No, but we will build one if John Harbaugh wins. We'll put them together.
Didn't you guys want to run Tom Coughlin out of town after he won a Super Bowl?
John, think about it. Baltimore ran you out of town. You're a professional. We want you here.
It would mean more to win with the Jets than it would with the Giants.
And John, if you're listening, we have White Castle here, too.
Do we?
The chicken rings are fantastic.
Can you actually name a location of a close White Castle?
Yes.
Where?
The one where I get them from, Farmingdale on Route 110.
Oh, really? So there is on Long Island?
There's multiple ones on Long Island.
I haven't seen anywhere I live.
We do one White Castle Crave Case annually every year on a football Sunday. We did the Bears game this year.
One of the most underrated movies of all time is...
Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Yeah. It was amazing.
They went to White Castle.
They should have stopped it before they did Harold and Kumar Get Arrested and Go to Guantanamo Bay. You ever see that one?
That one's very funny. Harold and Kumar Wrecked Christmas, too. I don't know.
I know the one with Guantanamo Bay I saw in the theater by myself. I remember that.
I saw that in theaters too, not by myself. Why did we go see that in theaters?
Well, the reason I did is because when I used to do this time slot back 15 years ago.
Right, when I was in high school.
I didn't have kids. I was not married. Mm-hmm. And the show ended at 1 o'clock. Okay? So at 1:15, I'd be done. And so at first, before I started becoming a gym rat, believe it or not, I would actually go watch random movies and go to malls.
Go to malls?
I'm a loser.
Were you at Hollister trying on the perfume?
That's what I would do.
One more quick thing, because I don't want to lose this real quickly on the White Castle thing.
Go.
That many years ago, White Castle was serving breakfast?
Apparently so. I have no idea.
I went to White Castle.
Okay. I'm going to have a major rabbit hole for me later.
We'll get back to your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. And we go deeper on the Joe Shane factor. Is Joe Shane truly going to be a hindrance to John Harbaugh or someone else taking this Giants job? The Cinco de Luncho coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. And you don't want to miss it. Connor Hughes at 1 o'clock. He's got all the info, the latest on the Giant coaching search, even some jet talk. He'll join us coming up in about an hour.